So the burden of disease, it's interesting if you look at what the burden of disease was in the United States. From 1900 to 1925, the burden of disease from tuberculosis was always the top three in terms of leading causes of death. From 1926 all the way to 1954, it was still in the top 10, and it didn't drop out of the top 20 until 1967, and that's the U.S. experience. But then we look at low-income countries right now, and it remains in the top 10. I believe last year it was the seventh leading cause of death. So what is it that happened in the United States that enabled it to drop, that last year there were only 1,000 people who died from tuberculosis in the United States, and yet 5% of all deaths in the world occur from tuberculosis? And that's part of what Kofi Annan was saying in his call to action, a speech that he gave to the World Health Assembly in 2001. In that speech, he was calling for the industrialized nations to respond to HIV, AIDS, TB, and malaria. And they responded by giving a few billion dollars, or committing a few billion dollars from 2001 to 2008. In the first 5 years, there were five rounds of proposals, and that's what I was looking at. I think I'm not very successful with the... good. The UN has the, you know, as part of the Millennium Development Goals, of course, they have some targets for tuberculosis. And if you have big problems like we do with tuberculosis, you look at where the burden of the disease is. And the burden of the disease is in 22 countries, the high burden countries. And if you just kind of glance at the map, you can see that they are located in all six regions of the WHO regions. They have just about every political and cultural environment, as well as every biomedical environment. So not one solution is going to work as it did perhaps in the United States. DOTS was a strategy that was implemented in 1995, and in those 10 years it was successful in treating 22 million people. But the Stop TB partnership, of which the WHO is a member, decided they had to do something different to get some more grounding in terms of eliminating TB as a public health problem. So here's the Stop TB strategy, and I passed out some handouts. I'm sorry I didn't bring some more. The Stop TB strategy focuses, again, on DOTS, but it adds some other things as well. It addresses issues of HIV and DRTB, as well as access, equity, and quality constraints. It also adopts evidence-based innovations in engaging private healthcare providers, and it works on empowering individuals and communities that are affected by tuberculosis. And then it also helps strengthen health systems and promotes research. So I'm going to refer back to this as we go through. So again, the purpose of my evaluation was to look at proposals to the Global Fund and see how they related to the WHO's Stop TB strategy. In other words, were the proposals in their narratives and in their work plans and budgets, were they in alignment with the Stop TB strategy? So I had to design, what does that mean when they were asking me, do these analyses of these proposals? And what I came up with was two components. One would be a textual congruence. Were the narratives actually saying things that were in alignment with the Stop TB strategy subcomponents that you have in your hand or your neighbor does? And then looked at some work plans and budgets from the round five proposals to see if those were in alignment as well. So I'm going to start with looking at textual congruence. These narratives from rounds one through five were available on the Global Fund website. There were 30, but I can only look at 24 because some were not legible or had inadequate work plans or were not amenable to Adobe search tool, and I'll explain why that was important. So the procedure was basically just to read the proposal and if it was in alignment with a given subcomponent on a matrix, just to check off. So, for instance, if they were saying that they were going to implement collaborative TB and HIV activities, they got a check off for 2A. If I read through the proposal, and you know, these 24 proposals ranged anywhere from 20 to 120 pages, and it was not congruent, that could have been just because maybe I was falling asleep or whatever. So in an effort to assure quality, what we did was use the Adobe search term, search tool. For each of the subcomponents, we're not going to go through everything, but this is one example. For each of the subcomponents, I used every word that is in the subcomponent, as well as phrases and words that were recommended by the health system strengthening team and the Stop TB department. And then I would reread that section that would that would locate this area, these areas. The results was that there was a high level of congruence in the narratives along with the subcomponents, especially after round three, all in the 80%. And this is aggregate data. If we break it down to subcomponent, you can see that there's actually some areas that are deficient, particularly 5C and 6B, which you can see on the handout what those are. But there were also some that the health system strengthening team were saying, well, they're not very high, like 1A, 1C, 1B, 1C, 4B, and 6A that were suboptimally high. So that was the textual congruence. You see that there was a high level of congruence overall, but then the next step was to look at seeing if they were actually allowing budget proposals to be in alignment as well. So that aspect of the study. Was to look at the budgets and work plans from round five. There were eight of them available. They were made available by the Global Fund on disk. Three of those were not able to be evaluated, so I was only able to look at five. The Global Fund, in their request for proposals, what they would have people do with their budgets and work plans, they wanted a one-to-one correspondence from the line item in the budget to the activity. Now, all activities were linked to service delivery areas, which were subsumed under objectives, which fall under goals. And that's going to be important in just a minute to realize that activities fall under their service delivery areas. So the procedure here was to look at the budget and simply to allot what subcomponent it was associated with. So that if it said something like collaborative HIV activities, then that would be 2A. So that amount of money would go under 2A. I'm not going to go through all the other steps if it wasn't something real simple, but if there were ambiguities, I actually had an algorithm by which I would frequently refer either to the narrative of the budget and work plan, or I would refer back to the service delivery area to determine which subcomponent the money was allotted to. And these were the results. And again, you can see a number of areas that were not funded, even though they may have been said to be emphasized in the narrative. And these were in particular areas 2C, 3B and 3C, 4B, 5C and 6B, as you can see. Now, on the next slide, what I did was add all the percentages of the budgets together, and again, to help illustrate the deficiencies of budgeting in the given subcomponents. So the proposals and their narratives were highly congruent, but this was not always matched in the budgets and work plans. There's three possibilities to this. One is that a given proposal was actually reflecting local needs, and these local needs didn't find the necessity of funding a given subcomponent. The other is that we were only looking at the Global Fund, and there could have been national TB budgets and other funding sources, as well as the possibility that there was underutilization of strategy subcomponents. So recommendations, which I'm going to go over just a little bit in detail in the final slides, is that proposals should follow the Stop TB strategy. The line items should be aligned according to activity and not to service delivery area. And the WHO should complete development and implement and evaluate a planning and budgeting tool. So that first recommendation is that, the reasoning behind that is this was developed by WHO and partners. It's oriented toward the UN MDGs, and it encourages proposals to respond to and meet local needs. I have a couple slides, and by then, I may have this figured out. Well, the second recommendation, again, was to align, line items in the budget according to activity, and that way it gives more granularity, more refinement of the thinking as well as the process. And then finally, to complete the planning and budgeting tool, part of what the Stop TB department had me come do was to determine if they wanted to allocate some of their resources in the development of this planning and budgeting tool. And the idea of this is that it will assist the national TB programs to better identify what their local needs are. It's an access program, and it would not be just for one proposal. It would actually feed in for multiple budgets and work plans. And as another bonus of this, it would allow WHO and the Global Fund to more quickly analyze budgets. It's currently under development. The last time I've been in communication with the health system strengthening team was in August, and they said they were proceeding with this. And that's it. These are some of the folks that were supportive.